Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Venice Festival, here with Sam Pope. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Associate producer of the Luke Allen film Out of Competition, Final Account.
Yes.
The final account is numbers that are told throughout the film of people who were like victims of the Nazi party during the...
I would say, I think Luke would characterize them as they were perpetrators, bystanders and witnesses Third Reich, from the Third Reich perpetrators' side.
Yeah, but I mean...
Ordinary Germans and Austrians who were complicit in some way.
But throughout the films there are numbers said of how many people were killed in each single camp and stuff. It's a very classically made documentary, but it's the subject issue is so strong that you don't care about the form. You know, I think it was also your idea, because there was no need of building up some aesthetics, because there was the intensity of the subject was, of the issue was already speaking by itself. So, it's people talking and explaining and telling their own film, their own memories. How was the building up of the film in terms of, you know, looking for these people, try to convince them to talk, and building up the storyline?
In terms of finding the interviewees and convincing them, it was a long and difficult process. As you can imagine, Luke would often go off to Germany, Austria, around the world with no plans, no interviewees lined up, and attempt to find people to speak to. And almost every single time he did, he could always find at least one person, sometimes five, six, seven in a week. Some were reluctant, some were excited, some wanted to talk, he wanted to open up, others were, said no, immediately. Absolutely not. You're never going to convince me. Don't try. Don't even try it. And even some of them did turn around. Luke, as I think I've said, he would always, at the beginning of an interview, say, listen, if you don't like the interview, if you think you said something you didn't want to say, I will give you the tapes. You can destroy them. You can do whatever you want. You can keep them. You can give them to your family. And that had never happened. Mm. At no single point at the end of the interview, they went, wonderful. Mm-hmm. That was fine. You can keep your tapes. Do what you want with them.
Listen, I was wondering, watching the film, is how could have been life for those people? Because, you know, we always consider the victims of the Nazi regime and the family of the victims of the Nazi regime, of the memories and the suffering and stuff. But these people had a burden to live with that was gigantic as the one of the victims, probably. Did you feel throughout the shooting that this film for them was a kind of relief, a kind of coming to terms with what happened for once in their life?
I think in a way, yes. I know Luke was always very conscious. He did not want to be accused of giving these people therapy. I think his line was, again, it's understanding is not forgiveness. He didn't want to offer them any sort of repentance. And if they felt in some way unburdened by it, fine, we've recorded it, it is in the archive. It's used for education for the future.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yeah, it was. How come Luke came with this idea? Because it was complicated enough.
Yeah, it's a long story. I mean, his grandmother was a refugee. She fled just before the Anschluss from Vienna in Austria. Mm-hmm. And her mother's parting words to her were, never tell anyone that you're Jewish. And she took this so seriously that he didn't find out, Luke didn't find out, nor his brothers or sister, that they were Jewish until his teens. And the revelation that both he was a Jew and that his grandparents had been murdered, I think, was a significant moment. It changed Luke and left a mark on him. And it's something that he was, as you can imagine, yes, something that he then continued to search after and to chase after. And it's informed his work for many, many years. I think this has been brewing in him for pretty much throughout, through the 80s. I think that was when the idea first came to him. And you can see it reflected in his work. I mean, everything mm-hmm. became very much focused on, in his first film, I Was a Slave Labourer, the survived community fighting for compensation from German industry. And then Good Morning, Mr. Hitler, where he found archive of the German arts festival in Munich 3 weeks before the start of the war. And showed it to those who'd participated in it, all those Germans. And he thought, well, if I can find them, perhaps I can find more people. If they are willing to speak and go on the record, maybe there are more, maybe there are people who are implicated in the crime.
Which is actually a point of view that we are not used to see, you know. And there is one part of the film which is like the strongest and the most shocking, when this old man is confronting class of young people and he's telling what he's feeling about what he did and what the party did, what his generation did, knowing and maybe not knowing it exactly, because it was a kind of plagiarism too that the Nazi party did on the youth and blah blah. And there is this strong fight with a guy, with one of the students. It's accusing him to be fake. And this is revealing on how the story is passed through the generations, you know, how the perception of story is transported from one generation to the other and distorted as well. And this is what it's happening all over Europe, actually. So did you imagine that your film could have been so actual?
I think Luke felt too, when we began this project, that it was relevant, it was contemporary, and it would speak to certain issues that were occurring. I mean, this is back in 2008 and 2010.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
10 years later, it has only gotten more relevant, year on year, which is incredibly distressing to see. That scene in particular is a reckoning. This student, he's learned about the Holocaust, but rejects it. He refuses to believe it because there's something that he's searching for. And I think there's something that they're all... There is something they're missing. They're yearning for a I don't know what you call it, a redemption or I'm not sure. Not sure what the words.
But it's revealing of a mind can be twisted and can be convinced of something that is not true. The fact of refusing this, and it's the same thing that one of the old interviewee is doing, saying, "I cannot believe this happens." Jews are saying this, but it's not true. They're always exaggerating. Jews are exaggerating stuff, and this is. It's sad to watch, and it's frightening and really unnerving sometimes. So Luke must have been a very, very keep it cool when he was shooting, because especially from his perspective, you know.
Absolutely. From his. I mean, it's throughout, I mean, that interview in particular, I mean, that was spur of the moment. There was no planning or preparation. He was just invited, I think, the morning of, and turned up with his camera, not knowing what to expect. And this intense scene plays out in front of him. It was always difficult. Sometimes he'd be confronted with these, you know, terrible stories, people confessing their crimes and then reaching across and saying, thank you. It's for him trying to remain calm, remain composed, focus on the details, ask the right questions. I think took a toll on him. Tireless. It would never stop working.
Was there any discussion or interaction after the interviews with these old men that happened, that were not recorded, but... some additional information that were shared?
Very rarely. They would often, particularly coming to the end of the interview, invite him to stay for tea. They'd say, I think there was one woman in particular, she said, just come out onto the patio, we can listen to the birds for a bit. Luke declined very kindly and walked out the door. I think he didn't want to, as much as he wanted to get their accounts, and get their stories for the archive, for the film, he wanted to keep that distance. He didn't want to be their friends, and never made any attempts to do so.
There was one thing that I pointed out, I don't know if it's true or not, that most of the people of that generation that were involved, that now are rediscussing their choices, are popular people, not bourgeois people. The bourgeois ones were more like stuck to their elite thing. The elite thing is the fact of being chosen, being better than others to do something was like a key thing for them. And it's how can they justify this, if they ever?
Oh, justify it sort of for the elite, for the bourgeois. I think it because it is that's what they're yearning for. I mean, the original notion, what the Nazis brought and provided to Germany was this sort of this moment of uplifting. They wanted to inspire pride in the German population. They gave them something to yearn for. At the same time, and that was also by making it, you have to make someone to be. If you want to raise someone up, there needs to be someone beneath you. And so you create a false, you create an enemy, an internal enemy. And that if anyone who is anyone who's yearning for that, anyone who feels hard done by, suddenly you can say you are part of the elite. I invite you to be part of the elite. This is the cost. They may be very willing to take it, particularly for...
Oh, yes, yeah. They will. They all will.
And also to retain your position, your power, particularly for if you're talking about the bourgeois elite.
Well, there must be like a real big struggle in the minds of those old men now after this, after being able to verbalize what happened to a younger generation because they are fighting to keep their own pride, but they cannot deny what happened.
I think it's, yes, I mean, that is the hope. I'm not all, I think, are that reflective or willing to reflect on their own actions. Herbert, I think, is one of the most, he's one of my most remarkable interviews in the film, the chap in the striped shirt, who says, if 99 had said yes before me, I may have participated as well. Because he's quite resistant to the notion, you know, he comes up with certain excuses, but it's when he's challenged, he says, I can't think of an example, I can't disprove that. Maybe you're right. He is willing to sort of allow that, and then we see these moments of, I think during Kristallnacht as well, he said, when I saw the burning of the synagogue, I didn't care. And Lou asked him, well, what did you consider it a crime? He said, well... Yeah, well, actually, on reflection, yes, it was a crime.
It was a crime because, you know, the personal property that was burned. So
exactly. And you'd see, and again, it's the mathematics that he's worked out at some point.
This is really shocking, actually. I wanted to ask one last question. Did you show the film to younger audience yet?
Not specifically, not necessarily with that in mind. We've shown it to students, groups through universities, through colleges, partly sort of, yes, to raise awareness, to raise funds for the project. And the responses so far have been universally positive from them. I think they
did they know about it in that dimensions of the Nazi?
Yes, I mean,
era.
Again, yes, we are presented properly contextualized within that framework, particularly in terms of the educational framework. Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot to Sam Pope, associate producer of Final Account by Luke Holland from the Out of Competition section, the Venice Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.